Welcome to another edition of the Gospel Mailbox. I'm Donnie Bryson. If you want to get in touch with us, you can call me on my cell phone, 423-544-0623. You can write P.O. Box 2446, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37409. Or, of course, you can always contact us on the Internet, www.gospelmailbox.org. Our email address is preacher@gospelmailbox.org. And I'd be happy for you to be a friend of ours on Facebook, too. And you can follow me on Twitter, just however you want to do it, to communicate with us. We just love to communicate, and really want to do that. I don't want this to be a one-way form of communication, those of you that are into the electronic media. And it gives time to fellowship. Also, too, now I have redesigned our website to where it's what they call a blog, which means that the different things that I post, you can come in and put comments to, and I would love to read your comments to see what you think, and you can share with other people, because you know, as long as it's a clean comment, even if it disagrees with me, as long as it's a clean comment, I will approve it, and it will go out there for anybody to see on the website. We are continuing our series on the great doctrines of the Bible, and we're at a turning point in our series. We have been talking about God in general up to this point, and starting tonight we are going to discuss the doctrine of Jesus Christ as found in the Bible. And I'm going to give you an overview of what we're going to be talking about for the next few weeks tonight, and talk about the what the Scriptures teach about Jesus. What the Scriptures teach about Jesus, and talk about it in general terms without going into a lot of depth with a lot of proof text on that. The one proof text, or the one text that I want to quote tonight, to take this introduction from, is found in John 5:39. And if you'll remember back, those of you that have been listening to us for some time, if you remember back to the series I did on the entire Bibles, we did a survey of the entire Bible, and I took every book of the Bible and showed how they all pointed toward Jesus and His atoning work on the cross and resurrection. And I used this text as the opening for each one of the sessions, because this text has got a very important truth in it. John 5:39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And the important thing that Scripture has got in it is, it, for one thing, it's possible to read the entire Bible and miss the entire point of it. Because that's what Jesus was telling these Pharisees. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. You've misunderstood it all. And those Scriptures are what testify of me. And the other important thing that verse has in it is that Jesus is the central theme, the central core message. His atoning work on the cross, His resurrection from the dead, salvation by His blood, is the central theme of the Bible. And let me just say this real clear in real plain, in real blunt. I don't want to be slurry and mean-spirited or anything like that, but it's important for us all to realize this, that if we are preaching and teaching and emphasizing something else other than the central message of Jesus' atoning work on the cross, then we've got a problem. And unfortunately, I see that happening in people. It's like every time you hear them preach, they preach about what the Bible, they preach about something that is off topic, that's off message. See, the Lord, when He called me to preach, He did not call me to preach to enhance the political climate of the United States. He didn't call me to preach to help kids graduate from high school. He didn't call me to preach to even alleviate some of the economic suffering of people. Now, in the course, just because we're supposed to have compassion on people, we do try to alleviate some of these problems. But that's more or less because we are humans that have feelings. But that's not the central message. That's not the central theme. That is not what we are actually called into the ministry to do. What we are called in the ministry to do, to preach Christ and Him crucified and rose from the dead. That's what we are called to do. That is our central theme. And if we deviate from that, then we're wrong. And if we're deviating away from that, and we are harping on things that are not really in the Bible, then we have got a huge problem. And again, I just have to say this plainly, and I'm really not trying to be mean-spirited or slur off on anybody. But I see people that every time you hear them preach, it comes down to they've got this special blessing plan where you send them $59.95 to buy this blessing from God, and all of these great financial miracles and financial transfers and special healings and everything are going to happen if you send them this $59.95 to buy the $59.95 blessing plan from them. Friends, there's a problem with that. That is so far off topic of what the Bible is about. It's unbelievable. The purpose of broadcast ministries is to preach Christ and Him crucified. And if you sit and listen to a 30-minute program, and you're listening to it every week, and you never hear that central message, all you hear is them trying to raise money, what's the point? Now, I mean, sure, we're in a position because of the limited scope that we are, that our ministry is in. Our ministry only is on one station now. We backed off from being on a different station, and we're only on one station. We've got an internet presence. We've got a 24/7 gospel internet stream that's very cost effective. And the reason why I have such a limited scope of only being on one radio station and only having a very cost effective internet presence is because I don't accept donations. Whatever this ministry incurs in debt and liability, financial liability, I'm in a position to where I can pay it out of my back pocket. And the reason why I'm doing it that way is that when you see people in the media, you see people with Brother so-and-so, Reverend so-and-so, Bishop so-and-so, or whoever, and you see them in the media, and they have a 30-minute program, and every week, and 28 minutes of it is bumming money from you, it turns people off. So I had rather have a limited scope like this, and I felt like God had rather me have a limited scope like this and me pay for it out of my back pocket and spend all the time preaching that central message, the central message of the gospel, that Jesus came, He's the Son of God, He died on the cross, He rose from the dead, and faith in Him saves us from our sins. That's the central theme. Not bumming money and, if we have to, mention Jesus every once in a while. Okay, so much for that. You know, and please, I'm not trying to be mean-spirited with people, and I'm not trying to slur people. I'm just wanting to point out, I mean, the same thing holds true in your Sunday school class. You know, those of you that are teaching Sunday school, you've got to focus on the central theme of the gospel. The central theme of the gospel is that Jesus came and rose from the dead. And as I've mentioned, we are on session 15 of our series, and we're going to spend a good time on this section of this series. So there'll be a lot. I'm going to go back over the points I'm going to be bringing up tonight, and giving you a lot of scriptures on each one of these points. But tonight, sometimes it's helpful to stand back from something and get an overview of the topics that you're going to be discussing. And that's what we're going to be doing tonight, and just touching on the things in general about what the Bible teaches about Jesus Christ. First off, I want to point out that Jesus, according to the scriptures, Jesus is 100% man, and He is 100% God. Now, how is that possible? And that's possible because He is God. And it's a miraculous aspect to His nature how He can be both fully man and fully God. And let's think for a minute what it means when we say Jesus is fully human. Well, first off, he had a mother. In every real sense of the word, of the concept, he had a human mother. That means that the Almighty Son of God went through the experience of having a birth. The trauma of birth. The pain of birth. The second thing that it means is that he grew up just like all the rest of us grew up. That means that he stumped his toe in the middle of the night getting up. That means that his little playmates may have probably hurt his feelings at times. That means that he went through the awkwardness, the embarrassment of going through puberty that we've all experienced. The fact that he is human meant that he has a body, a soul, and the spirit just like all other humans have. It meant that Jesus was really tempted. Now think about that for a minute. That means he really, and we all, anybody that don't think they're tempted to do things is delusional. And if they try to tell other people that, everybody looks at you like you're a liar. They know you've been tempted. All of us have been tempted to do wrong things. And Jesus, because he was 100% man, really did feel temptation. That was not an illusion. When he was in the garden and he was praying, "Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless not what I will, but what thou wilt." When he prayed that, he really meant that. He really did not want to go to the cross. He really wanted to give up. He was really tempted to give up. When, as the scripture talks about the bulls of Bashan, as they circled about him and they oppressed him in that garden, he was tempted to give up. When he was placed in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and Satan came to him and offered him an easy way out, Jesus was really tempted to sin. That was real temptation. That was not the illusion. There is nothing that is an illusion about the life of Christ. It is all real. So when we are in dire straits, see, this is the beauty of this, is when we are in dire straits and we are tempted to sin, or we're tempted to give up, we're tempted to reach over and slap this stupid person next to us, when we're tempted to show ourselves, when we are tempted to do whatever. And we pray to Jesus for help. We're praying to someone who knows how that feels. When our best friend hurts our feelings, and they've rejected us, and they have looked down on us, they have went out and lied about us, and our feelings are hurt, and we feel crushed in our heart, and we pray to Jesus, we are praying to someone who knows what that feels like. When we're in the heat of the day and working with everything we got, and the heat is just oppressive and smothering, and we're getting agitated and aggravated, and we want to use language that we know is wrong, and we're tempted to do that, and we pray to Jesus for help, we're praying to someone who worked in a carpenter shop in the heat of the day, in the smeltering heat of the day, the smothering heat of the day, with the sweat coming down in his eyes, and probably hit his thumb, and was tempted just like us. So he knows how it feels. And that's one of the great things, the great concepts, the great things in the Bible. Then we, like I said, he is 100% man. He is 100% God. You see, that's an important concept, and there are a lot of people, they are people, who will name the name of being Christian who do not believe Jesus is God. And that's a problem. That's a huge problem. You know, and I do realize that the word Trinity is not in the Bible. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. The doctrine of Trinity is all the way through it. There was an academic movement some time ago that tried to say that Jesus was mainly thought of as a teacher for the first couple of hundred years, and as time went on, he was deified. That got a little bit of popularity in some of the academic circles. A huge logical problem to that. Unless, I'm not even going to discuss what I feel in my heart. I accepted Jesus into my heart. I met Jesus at Union Avenue Baptist Church back 35 years ago. Longer than that, many years ago. Maybe close to 40 years now. Yeah, I guess it is close to 40 years ago. I met a person. So I know Jesus is God in my heart. But there's a logical problem if you take the Bible at face value. There is a logical problem that some of these academic bozos have when they say that Jesus was deified over the course of 300 or 400 years after he was here. And the problem is that when you take the original language in the original documents of the New Testament that were written in the first century A.D., it's real clear that they ascribed deity to Jesus. Real clear. Last book of the New Testament that was written, the book of Revelations. It was written before the end of the first century. And yet you see the Apostle John falling at the feet of the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, in worshiping Jesus, the resurrected Christ. So it's real clear. Real clear. We see in the New Testament there were divine names ascribed to Jesus. We see that divine worship is ascribed to him, just as I just mentioned. The divine qualities and properties, the office, divine offices are ascribed to him, of being prayed to. Christ's name is coupled with the Father and the Holy Ghost in numerous places in the New Testament. And we see that Jesus was conscious of his deity. You can see that when he visited the temple and he said, "I must be by my Father's business." You can see it at his baptism. You can see it at his temptation. You can see as he calls the 12 and the 70. And you can see the way he talks about things in the Sermon on the Mount, where he is conscious of his deity. It wasn't like he discovered one day he was God. He knew he was God. And then the other thing that we're going to be talking about is the mighty work of Jesus. As we're talking about the doctrine of Jesus, we'll be talking about his death, his resurrection, and his ascension and exaltation. And, you know, and we'll be going into this in a lot more depth. You want to really tune in. Over the next, maybe the next 10 weeks, we'll be going into a lot of depth on the doctrine of Jesus. And also, too, if you can go to the internet and you've got the capacity to listen, I would love for you to download the series that I've got out there. It's about a 39 series of the survey of the New Testament, not the New Testament, but the entire Bible. I took each book of the Bible from Genesis to Revelations and showed how that each one of those books point toward Jesus in his atoning work on the cross. And I would love for you to download that. This has been the Gospel Mailbox. I'm Donnie Bryson. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can always call me on my cell phone, 423-544-0623. You can write us via post, P.O. Box 2446, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37409. Or you can contact us via the internet at www.gospelmailbox.org. This has been the Gospel Mailbox, where we bring Christ's love letter to you.